And away we go. We are on the air on this last day of June 2021, Wednesday, June the 30th. 18 minutes past the hour, joined in studio by Glenn Kobo. Do want to mention very quickly that until 1 o'clock today, we do have prizes galore to be picked up here. We have the jar of elderberry jam that Charlene won last week. We have the Wendy's gift card that Grover won last week on Nate's show. And we have the two sets of fare passes, courtesy of the Y-Men, that Ralph and Peyton won this morning on the show. You can pick those up until 1 o'clock today here at the radio station, or today between 4 and 5. You can also grab those. Let us know ahead of time, if you would, 740-383-9944, what you want to do, or if you don't want the prize, because somebody probably does, and we will just give that prize out again. 740-383-9944. This will be our last Wednesday show before the big 4th of July holiday. Shecky was great this morning. I want to thank Shecky Green, as always, for being hilarious. But, Glenn, what's the 4th of July mean to you?
That's a good question. That's a terrific question, because it'll probably take me back into my childhood. And going to Pottawatomie Park in South Bend, Indiana, and going and getting tadpoles and bringing them home, putting them in a goldfish bowl where they would probably die because I would not take care of them. And then that night going out to the fireworks at the amusement park that we had there. I'm not sure whether it was in South Bend or whether it was across the border in Mishawaka. That's kind of my thoughts of 4th of July. I'm a patriotic person, but I'm not one of person that gets fired up over patriotic acts. When I ran for office, that was a patriotic act that I was doing. When I served with the Democratic committee here, not the committee, but just went to the club meetings, that was patriotic enough for me. I'm not one, and of course I've saluted the flag. Being a former soldier, you always salute the flag, but I'm not one of those person that goes gung-ho on patriotism. Like my wife told me yesterday, kind of shocked me. She said, you know, when I was younger, I decided I was not an American. I was a citizen of the globe. And that's kind of where I'm coming from, too.
Well, I do want to let people, I do want to say something. During the last hour, and I felt horrible about this, but a gentleman, one of our devoted listeners, which I always appreciate, came down here with a tomato plant that he had been growing, and he planted it outside here at the house, and I guess he's going to come back and water this. And I was on the air with Shecky, so I feel bad that I couldn't have a longer conversation with him, but I thank him profusely for doing that. I believe that was Mr. Shirk, and that's so nice.
Are you a big tomato eater?
I do like tomatoes, but I don't buy them, so that's why this year I really am into the tomatoes.
Oh, you will not believe how much better a fresh tomato off the vine is as opposed to what you get in the grocery. Nothing wrong with the grocery. That's the way they've got to do it. They've got to pick them before they're ripe and ship them, but they are so good right out of the...
Well, I just like a tomato on anything. A bologna sandwich, a hamburger, a tomato by itself, if you put the right things on it, I think are very good. So to get them for free off the plant I'm trying to grow in my yard at home, and now with this one here, we'll see how many people here at the station try to whack my tomatoes away from me.
I have a good friend who's my barber, and he plants tomatoes out in front of his barber shop. He says people steal those all the time.
Go ahead, caller.
Two things. First of all, Peyton's at work right now, so she's good to say thanks. And second of all, please tell me you're going to at least fry one or two of the tomatoes, because that's the best way you can.
What's the recipe for frying them?
I said we go to the store, so you'll be good again. So, you just take your fork, beat you a couple eggs, like maybe two or three eggs, beat them with a fork. Then cut your green tomato, thick, real thick-like, and dunk it down in the egg. Then on a plate, you put loaf of its flour. Some people will swear like cornmeal. That's just gritty and nasty in my opinion. So the best way is just use all of the flour. Dip, after you dip the egg, then you dip it both sides, coat it real good with the flour. Little salt, little pepper, fry it in a couple taps of butter in a skillet on both sides, and bone abs.
Now, I want to know something before I let you off the line here. Now, is Peyton's 18, right?
Yeah.
Okay, did she say when she would be picking these up?
I was going to come in on my lunch break and get the tickets for her, and I gave her my name and number that way, and she was out at 3. So okay. Then she can call me, and I will deliver the tickets to her. Is that okay?
Well, that works, yeah. Now, won't she be on the bus again tomorrow, or is this an intermittent thing?
I don't think she rides every day, but she rides a lot, so I'll see her. But either way, she has my number, and like I said, she can call me.
Did she not Google that?
She was in the back of the bus. I don't know what was going on. I believe the say.
Okay. Well, we'll tell her, thank you back to her for...
I heard her say that.
Well, I heard her say that, but you know, you never know.
So how are you going to develop a flawed listenership if you accuse us of lying?
Well, no, I don't think I was accusing... No. I don't think I was accusing anybody of lying.
He does that to me all the time.
I was just asking.
That's sort of like an accusatory question.
Now, did you hear the first hour this morning? We already have a broad listenership. People couldn't get in.
Oh, so you don't need any more listeners? Like,
well, no, we always can take more.
Stop encouraging people to call you?
No, we want all the listeners we can
get.
Oh,
take. Okay. Well, then maybe it's nice to stop.
People love my personality. It's infectious.
I know.
We need to talk.
Green tomatoes. Are you going to do this?
Well, I don't know if the tomatoes will come up green, but I will fry them.
Well, wait a minute. What did you just say?
I don't know if the tomatoes will come up green.
They
don't
come up red.
What color do you think they come up?
Do what?
Have you ever seen a tomato growing?
Well, yeah, but I don't pick the tomato until it's red.
No, but okay, so when it gets as big as it's going to get, before it turns red, it's green. And that's what I'm saying. You pick it just before it's fully ripe, and that's when you do your frying.
Well, yeah, I understand that, but I'm just saying, there really is no difference between a red and a green tomato, is there?
Oh, yes, there is.
Well, what's the difference?
They don't taste anything alike.
Don't taste anything alike?
No.
Well, what's the difference?
Red ones are a lot sweeter.
For another call. I've got work to do.
Okay, have fun.
I'll fry them green tomatoes.
Okay. Bye-bye. All right, 740-383-9944. I don't pick them until they're red.
I don't think most people do. I think most people that eat green tomatoes, fried green tomatoes, those are the last tomatoes of the season, and they just aren't going to turn red, so they take them off and slice them up.
Why does it have to be a fried green tomato? Can't it be a fried red tomato?
Because that's the name of the movie.
I don't know. What's the throwback behind that? I don't get it.
There is more sugar in the red ones, so they're they're sweeter. The green ones are more earthy flavor, and some people like that. I do not like fried green tomatoes. So,
I've never had one.
Well, I'm not a big fan of red tomatoes, but I have them with as a condiment.
They're good for you.
I guess, yeah. They have lots of oxymorons in them.
Oxidants. Antioxidants. Oxidants. Do want to let people know that we want to thank the Y-Men for the fare book that dropped off this morning and dropping off some more fare passes, which we will give away tomorrow morning. So tune in between 8 and 10 tomorrow.
Yeah, that'll be nice. The fair is always fun. I have tales that are still being spread about me, about the different animals I bid on when I was working at the credit union, and I bid for the credit union. We got a lot more publicity out of me bidding on them and making mistakes than we got.
So what did you do?
Oh, you've heard my story, I'm sure, about bidding on the calf.
No, I don't think so.
I might as well tell it now.
Go ahead.
We're
the fourth.
We're about ready to hit the fourth. I went the first year I moved here to Marion. My boss said to me, "Hey, why don't you go over and bid on an animal at the county fair. Maybe we can win a grand champion. And I said, well, I don't know how to do it. She said, well, just go over there and you get it in line, you get a number, and you bid on the animal. And she said, I think she told me that she'd let me spend up to $500. I think that's what she said. So I went over there, and I didn't know what I was doing. And I'm a city boy, not a country boy. And I was sitting there, and all sorts of animals came up in the sale of champions early. And they were all going for humongous prices. You know, a pair of ducks were going for $500 or $600. I thought, well, that's crazy. Well, this feeder calf came up, and they said, we're starting at $375. And I thought, well, hey, maybe I can win this. So I put my bid in at $375, and it eventually went up, I think, to $475. And I thought, and I won it. And I was really excited, and the lady behind me tapped me on the shoulder, and she said, you did realize that was $4.75 a pound, didn't you?
Oh.
So my feeder calf cost somewhere around $2,600.
Gee whiz.
And I had $500 in my pocket. And I knew my boss, being a Hindu, wasn't real thrilled about me buying a calf anyway.
So how did you get out of that one?
Well, I went home and cried on my wife's shoulder, and she said, well, you got to tell her. So the next morning was Monday, and I went in and I said, you won't believe what I did. And I told her, and she looked at me, and the first thing, she looked back, and I thought she was going to have a fit. And then she started chuckling how stupid I was. But we got publicity for that for about 10 years. That was the highest bid on a feeder calf for about 10 years. That held that record.
Well, now, so the ducks and all that, they were a pound as well, right?
Well, there are different ways to do it. If you're a newbie going out there to bid on animals, certain animals you bid by pound, other animals by head, and then there's the type that are by, what do they call it, where they have two or three. I can't remember. Group, I'm going to call it, but that's not the term. And so you have to know which way you're bidding. And I would bid on just about all of the kids whose parents used the credit union. I would try to at least get the bidding started. So I couldn't bid on all of them because we had so many customers who had kids that were exhibitors, but I would try to get the bidding started, and I came home every year with three, four, and maybe a couple of times five different animals, almost always more than doubling what I was supposed to spend for them. And we had a good time, and I found out that my boss, Vidya Iyengar, was very... She would allow it. She would cross her eyes at me and give me that bad look, like, oh, you've done a bad thing. But she always went along with it. And we displayed their stuff in the two credit union. So we had a good time doing it. The best story I ever had was a young boy who was a first-year exhibitor, and he had two ducks, and we won the ducks. And as they always do, they have the kids really well educated in what you should do to get people to vote for your animals. And he came up to me at the end and really sad. I was getting his ducks. And he said, Mr. Cole, what would you like us to do with your ducks? In other words, do you want me to slaughter your ducks, or will you slaughter them yourself, is basically what he was saying. And I said, well, why don't you just take them back to the farm and put them out on a pond? And his eyes lit up because, you know, this is his first year of doing this, and he wasn't ready to see his animals have their little heads chopped off.
Well, what does the credit union normally do with these things when they win them?
99% of the time, we sold them back to them.
Right.
So you really, like, on the $2,600 that we had to pay on that feeder calf, we got quite a bit of that back, so we still...
You sell it back to the people?
Yeah.
Well, that's a scam.
No, it's not a scam.
I mean, that's a scam.
You're basically giving them money for being... for working hard all year long to make their animals as presentable.
But how much, typically, are they making after they have to pay to get it back?
It depends on the animal.
Well, I don't know.
In many cases, like ducks, they're making several hundred dollars because those ducks didn't cost them anything but feed.
Well, no, I'm just thinking, but they have to pay to get them back, right?
Well, they don't pay you. You just take off. Let's say that calf costs $3,000, and the actual cost per pound of a feeder calf that year might be, you know, $1 a pound, and it weighed 1,000 pounds. So you're really paying $3,000 for a $1,000 animal. So they cut the $1,000 off. And you just pay them what you've overpaid for, what you're going to overpay for it. And therefore, they're making money. A lot of those kids aren't making money to go out and buy a Nintendo. They're making money so that they can go to college, so that they can become farmers and all sorts of stuff.
Well, but they have to do this for a long time. Some of them have to miss work. They have to feed these animals. They
all
have
the
to
time.
Take care of them. So, you know, you take all that, and then you take what you have to knock off or so on and so forth to get the animal back. That's probably a very slim margin of profit.
I don't think they even think of that. I know their families don't think of it. They think of it as an education.
Well, right, but all I'm saying is it would be nice if these businesses just gave them the money for what they did, and they can use it for college or whatever.
Yeah, I think it's become kind of a game.
Well, that sounds like a publicity stunt.
Kind of. Oh, absolutely, for the businesses.
Yeah, but at least I thought the businesses were giving them all the money.
Some of them do. What? A lot of them will have pig roasts at the end of, you know.
Right, right.
They will pay the whole price.
Right.
But, you know, we were just trying to help the kids out.
Well, I just don't know. I mean, it's fine. People make whatever deals they want. But when they print and air that this business bought this for this price, that's publicity.
Yeah.
And yet... That's really
publicity.
Right, but that's really not what happened, apparently.
They did buy it.
They did buy it.
They also did sell it back.
and didn't really pay that amount.
Yes, they did really pay that amount, but they sold it back so they didn't have to, so they recouped some of their money.
Well, I just think the business should scholarship it out. Or don't bid. You know, you don't have to bid.
No, that's you're absolutely right. It is publicity. And the reason why so many businesses like doing it is all day long, you're mentioned on the whatever broadcasts are going on. At the end of the Sale of Champions, they post all the pictures of the Sale of Champions with the guy who or the girl who bid on it. They take pictures of every single one of them, and they're all in the local newspaper. And it's PR. And a lot of the businesses will bid on children's animals who either the child's parent works for that company, or the child's parent, like in our case, was a member of the credit union, or the child's parents as good friends of a really rich person, or grandpa and grandma quite often buy them, just so that they can give another reason to give their kids, their grandkid, more money to go to college.
Did anybody else know that it worked this way?
Everybody there.
Everybody knows it.
Everybody knows
it. Now, but does the common public, like me?
They do now.
Well, right, but I mean, that's... what do people think of this? I'm just curious. Am I the only one who's got a... I don't have a problem with it, because you can do what you want. But that's a little shaky. I didn't realize it went that way. 740-383-9944.
I don't think it's shaky at all, because everybody knows that's the way it's played. Every fair in the United States does that.
But then why not bid just what you know, you're, you know, bid less, because you know you're going to sell this back anyway, and then the audience, the publicity audience, really gets a truthful depiction of what you have paid for it.
I think they do. I think most people that even care about what you paid for a calf, most people that care about that know darn well the way it's going to work.
And yeah, but I think sometimes those numbers are gigantic that people pay.
Yeah, that's right.
And money does matter.
Well, I suppose you could criticize the idea that several times I would go and a person with disabilities would have an animal, and that animal would go 10 times what it should go for, because people were feeling, you know, their heart was tugging for this little kid who was in a wheelchair that had raised this beautiful little piggy. You know, it would go for $2,000, $3,000 a pig. And they know what that is. It's a game of the heart.
But they're not selling it back for more, are they? So the kid is still profiting.
In every case, the kid profits.
Right, but I have no problem with people, you know, this kid's cute, or I personally know this kid, or maybe, like you say, there are kids who have disabilities garner more money. That's fine. People can bid on whatever they like. The problem I'm having is that the numbers that we are getting are not truthful numbers out of the business's pocket that they will never see back.
I'm going to ask you a question to answer that.
Yes, go ahead.
Do you really care that a kid is making some money to go to college by doing a little game like this? It is a game.
No, but I would just leave the money off then. And I would say that blah, blah, blah bought this.
Yeah, but how in the world are you going to get the prices up if it's just blah, blah, blah?
Well, but the publicity usually comes after the purchase is made. I mean, I used to do that at the radio station that covered that, mm-hmm. and you wouldn't start mentioning the business until they would purchase
right.
whatever, and by that point, you knew what they purchased it for because you broadcast the auction. So, but apparently that number is not an accurate depiction of what they're actually paying for it.
I don't think there's a person in the world other than you that cares.
Well, I don't know. But then why mention the number if we don't care?
Because that's the end of the game. Finding out.
I guess that's fine. I mean, I'm campaigning for the kid. Just give them all the money and they'll put it toward college.
I think this is a way to get more money for the kid. Having an auction. You know how auctions are. Have you ever been to an auction?
Yeah. I'm for auctions.
Yeah, okay.
I'm just saying don't charge them to keep it.
I'm confused.
Or don't
get your money back on what it's...
Yeah.
Now, I don't know why they started doing that, except I'd say about 50% of the people who buy an animal for five times what it's worth... they're there to get some publicity for doing the good for the kid, and they really don't want to spend $5,000 for a goat. They don't mind giving the kid $3,000, but the goat might be worth, well, the goat's not going to be worth $2,000, but they'll take the money that the fair, what is it called, fair price for the per pound of the animal. I don't know.
What if the family doesn't want it?
I've never seen that happen.
Well, I wish one of these families would stick it to the...
The families can, I suppose, slaughter it and have it themselves then, you know?
Well, I'm just saying, what if that happens? What if you pay $3,000 for whatever...
And they won't pay you back?
Well, they just give it to you. They say, okay, we don't want it.
Yeah, we want the money, and you've got to take it.
You've got the animal.
I don't think I've ever seen that happen.
But, you know, that's a little... I'm sure it has happened.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Well, if you're a legitimate business and you're legitimately there to help the kid out, you'll pay that.
There you go.
Yeah.
So I'm for that.
Okay.
Well, what are you really going to do with these animals? Even if you love them, you're not going to keep them around forever.
You mean the people that have raised them?
Yeah.
Excuse me. Many animals are raised for milk. Many animals are raised for eggs. Many animals are raised to slaughter and eat. And that's what's going to happen to them, one or the other.
Well, aside from, and by the way, if anybody's got an opinion, go ahead and give it to us. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I made a comment on Facebook earlier, and somebody posted something, and I think it's a little offbeat, but you tell me what you think. Okay, now this was what I wrote. I wrote, you can never go wrong starting the day with a ham and cheese omelet and a large diet from the nicest person in the world. I think this might have been what Ben Franklin ate during the Constitutional Convention. I wonder if Betsy Ross made them back then. That's the statement.
Okay.
Now, the comment was, that followed this up, was, that's a little sexist, don't you think? Now, do you find that statement sexist?
Well, I don't know what what Betsy Ross's relationship with Ben Franklin
right,
was.
Right, it was just...
You're trying to be funny, and you pulled a woman and a man thing out of it. I don't
know. No, but is that a woman and a man thing? I mean, it was just because the person who brought me the omelet was a woman, so I had to think of a historic woman to put in that place. I wasn't trying to... You know, George Washington could cook the omelet for all I care. Who cares?
I think George Washington would have been a better choice there.
Well, apparently, according to Shecky Green, wearing those pants and high heels, he might have done okay making those omelets. We are going too PC in this country, if that's sexist, 3 days before July 4th.
Well, sometimes we do go too PC, and being a lib, I'm accused of it way more than I should be.
But do you find the sexist nature? I mean, really, what is sexist in that?
Well, I'm really struggling to think of anything that is sexist about it.
It's
silly, but it's not really sexist.
I get what they're saying. They're saying that Betsy Ross, the woman has to make the omelet. I get that.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even go that route.
Yeah, but that's not what, if you read it, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, what am I supposed to compare the woman who brought it to me to? A man?
I absolutely agree with you. I think that whoever thought it was not in good taste really pushed that way too far.
I mean, that to me is just ridiculous. And I like the person who made the comment, but that's ridiculous.
Okay.
I mean, that to me is where we have gotten in society. That Ben Franklin is dead. Betsy Ross is dead.
Were they even alive at the same time?
Yeah, probably.
Oh, okay.
Probably. But
you didn't say she came in and sat on his lap.
No, I said she made an omelet.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Now, what if you had reversed that and said...
And I would have. If I had brought somebody breakfast this morning, it would have been just the opposite.
Yeah.
Did Ben Franklin used to bring Betsy Ross omelets? By the way, and this was hard as I was putting that together this morning, give me one other historical woman that everybody would know from that time period.
Oh, maybe Martha Washington.
Now then, it really would have been sexist because the wife's doing the... Yeah. Well, see, it's hard.
Yeah.
Abigail, do people know Abigail Adams?
You know what's sexist about that is that we were so short-minded back in those days that we didn't have women doing important things.
But you know, the thing about it is Betsy Ross and her family are probably very proud that she did what she did. But my goodness, it was sewing. That's a woman thing, right? That must be sexist too.
Well, and did she even do it?
Probably not.
There are a lot of people that say
probably
that she
not.
Didn't do it.
But you know what? I mean, is that sexist to bring that story up? Because a man certainly wouldn't have sewn the flag.
Well, it would have definitely been sexist if you said Betsy Ross and then told everybody how she washed dishes right after she sewed the flag.
Yeah, I mean, come on. I mean, this is getting to be a little...
You know, I make breakfast for my wife on Saturdays and Sundays. Maybe I'm being sexist. I'm not going to give her any food anymore.
This is where, to me, the line gets crossed. That when you have no intention to make a sexist remark, and you can't even put a woman's name as making food because that's sexist.
Yeah, that's going a little too far.
That's nuts.
Yeah. That's kind of, you know. That's kind of crazy.
Well, it's like there are certain people who can't be butlers in movies. People really don't have butlers anymore. But
like who?
Well, people don't want to
have an
African American person as a butler. If they're the best person for the part and they want to do it, who cares?
Yeah, just don't make them speak in an African American.
Well, that's right. And now this is the difference. And we've talked about this, that there are radio stations and they can do what they want. Again, it's America. But it's also my right to say this. A radio station that airs Amos and Andy shows today, I think that's borderline. I don't want to say it's racist because I don't want to say the people who are doing it are racist, and I don't think that's their intention. But those shows are racist because, first of all, it's white men doing it, and the audience today has no idea that it's white men. And those accents they are doing, they're coming up with them because that's how black people talk, right? That's the wink, wink.
Yeah.
Right. And that's why I would never air an Amos and Andy here unless for educational purposes to say this is what people did. To air it as a comedy today. Now, see,
are there stations that still do
that? Yes, yes. Oh, and again, they can do it.
Well, and I understand if they're airing it with the idea that it is a historical
thing. Absolutely, that's
thing.
Fine.
And I imagine there are a lot of stations that don't think of it as comedy. They think of it as education.
But if you don't air it with that disclaimer, then I think you can say it's for education, but it's not.
Aren't you getting a little too PC there?
No, because people don't know. You and I are radio people. We get that white people did those parts. We get that is not anybody's real voice. The person who turns that on doesn't know that. And if you don't tell them, then they don't understand why that's... And listen to some of the jokes made in those shows.
Yeah, they're not funny.
Well, I don't know what's funny and not funny, but they certainly are playing on race.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of understand. I love old radio shows. I absolutely love them. I wrote one for a long time. I performed in one for a long time. I absolutely love radio theater. And if they're done, and I think most people know the background of Amos and Andy. I'm not saying all. I wouldn't even say half of the people.
I wouldn't even say half.
But a lot of people that will listen to that will listen to it as historical. I don't believe people that don't know that, I can't imagine there are too many people that even leave it turned on.
If you own an Amos and Andy record, which were put out, If you like to listen to them on the internet, they are there.
Yeah,
I don't have a problem with that. But my problem is a radio station makes a programming decision to put that on the air. Mm-hmm. And if you put that on the air, and there are thousands of radio shows you could air, mm-hmm. if you're putting that one on the air and not telling people the place and time of it, then yeah, I think that is problematic.
How about if it's a weekly radio play show, and they do two or three on each show, and they mix Amos and Andy into it? Don't you think people would understand that's just the history of radio?
I don't know. I think it's that show.
Good question.
That show in particular is. And I don't want to be one of the people who says everything's racist, but that show in particular, if you listen long enough, there are so many innuendos in that show, and so many, I mean, the accents.
Yeah.
They
did play on the stereotypical stuff.
Just the fact that that's two white guys trying to sound like an African American, and that's what they think.
It's verbal white blackface.
It's very, right. And you couldn't do that on television today.
No,
so why would we do it on radio?
You could do it on TV.
If you did, this is,
you
right.
understand why
but,
this
so,
is.
But you couldn't just drop it in on, hey, no. three comedies tonight and one's going to be blackface.
No.
So why could you do that on radio?
Well, I think you raise a good point, but I also understand that there are people, radio stations that have those shows as a historical thing, and they do them every week, and they do all sorts of them. And I would think those people may get a pass, whereas if you're just dropping it in because you think it's funny, you know.
But how do we ever really know somebody's intention?
We don't, and that's why political correctness sometimes is just off the wall.
Well, let me tell you this. We are a talk station.
Yeah.
So doing an old radio show would be right in our bailiwick.
Yep.
If you turned this station on and heard Amos and Andy, what would you think?
I'd listen to it because I thought it was a funny show. But then I would also know in my head how racist it really
there
sounds.
There you go. But wouldn't you come in and say, why'd you air that?
No, I wouldn't.
You wouldn't do that?
No.
Some people would.
Yeah, I know. I know they would.
I think an African-American person might not like that.
I'm going to ask a couple of my friends who happen to be African-American, I'm going to ask them to answer that question.
Well, see, here's the difference. And I, because people will say, well, that was just the time. Okay, watch Jack Benny, or listen to Jack Benny's radio show. Rochester is a prominent character.
And kind of a stereotypical accent.
But the difference is, it was a black man doing the part,
true,
and he was the smartest person in the room.
Yeah, he was.
You know, he was always straightening him out.
Yeah.
Amos and Andy ain't that.
Yeah, no.
To
right.
put it in a, yeah. And that's the difference in the time.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from. I also understand why people defend putting it on the air because of its history, but then you got to figure out if the person who's putting it on because of its history is just veiling that in a very thin veil of racism.
You know, I bought an Amos and Andy record because I like to buy vinyl.
Old record.
Yeah. And I don't, not really music unless it's something maybe I've interviewed or somebody like that. So mostly it's comedy or old radio shows or things like that. And I listened to a little bit of that, and to be honest, there are very clever lines in it. It was the number one show on radio. It was a very well-written show. But it almost seems to me, and they're all dead, so I can't get in their minds, but it almost seems like every time they couldn't come up with a funny line, they played on the old accent or the old racist joke.
Yeah, they did. Go to tap dancing when you can't do anything else.
Yeah. And very innuendoed things.
A lot of watermelon being eaten.
There you go. Fried chicken and all that.
I am absolutely opposed to that attitude. I'd love to see people get past that. I was watching a show this yesterday. And a very famous African-American author was talking about how racist statements can come from people who are anti-racist because of our ignorance of where we're coming from. You know, we really do. As an old white guy, I've been fighting for lots of years as an old white guy to catch myself every time I do something that might offend an Asian. My father used to call Japanese Americans Japs. I do not do that.
Well, but here's the thing. And I am not somebody who says, go take Hattie McDaniel out of Gone with the Wind because she was a servant, or, you know, take Isabel Sanford out of Guess Who's Coming to Dinner because she's the maid in Sidney Poitier, you know. I'm not saying
but
that.
But that's in the times. So.
That's in the times.
Yes.
And Amos and Andy was never in the times. That was not how people were acting.
Yes.
It's not.
You're absolutely
ever.
Right.
But you know what? People think it is because it was so
you
popular.
You believe that? You think people are even...
Yeah, I do. I think that people in 2021, about a show that was written and produced in 90 years ago, think that that was an accurate depiction of 30 years before Martin Luther King, 30 years before Malcolm X, 30 years before Sidney Poitier, that this was what it was.
My wife and I have a long drive right after we leave here today, and I'm going to ask her about that.
Do that.
I think... She's a very bright lady and much smarter about, and very politically correct, my wife is. So much so it irritates the hell out of me. I'm going to ask her how she feels about this.
Now, again, I'm not saying they should never be aired, because there were so many produced. They were produced well. They've been preserved when not all radio
and
was.
They are history.
And they were number one.
Well, yeah.
And we, that says something about
why
us.
Were they number
exactly.
one?
They were number one. But airing them without a disclaimer, I think, is my problem.
I think I agree with you. I think It would always be better to put a disclaimer on. This was written in 1948 at a time when.
That also two white men played these roles,
and these were
accents that two white men were doing. Understand that, and then we can play it.
The sadness of that is the white audience that was listening to it didn't...
No, never knew.
Well, I don't think they would have understood even if they did know.
Well, but, here's a question. Even in that day, and why was that kept a secret?
Was it kept a secret?
Yeah, that didn't come out.
It just happened to be a secret.
When you're the number one show on television, that's getting written up in papers and things at that time.
Surely they had announcements of who the actors were.
Well, I'm sure they did, but you couldn't Google it back then.
It's true, you couldn't Google it.
And they weren't famous actors.
Weren't they?
Okay. Not really. No.
Well, after a while they were.
No, and you know what? Because it was so popular on radio, they did try it on television,
and it
didn't work.
No.
Didn't work. Because we had evolved some by that point, and also you couldn't use those actors.
And it's more stark when you see it than it is when you hear it.
Well, what are even some of the names in those? The nicknames are very... I'm trying to think of what they are.
Yeah, I can't think of any.
Yeah. There's some interesting words in those shows. Well, we're going to go to break. Ponder that question. We'll come back in 15 here on WWGH Radio. Again, thank the Y-Men for the fare tickets, which we'll give away tomorrow morning. Stay tuned.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Listen for guests like legendary comedian Shecky Green.
No, well, you also did the Ed Sullivan Show.
Oh, my God.